This is a replay of June 29th's Monday Night Trivia on WGN Radio. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. That's my toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the best deal in good customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 big hours to spend together. 3 big hours of Monday Night Trivia. You're doing this for the fun of it. Eventually you get something, but you might not be on the planet by the time it arrives, and you may not want it. But you like the certificates. Everything else will be like a CD or a DVD per win. But it'll take a while. All right. So like I say, you're doing it for the fun of it, and I appreciate that. 888-876-5593. 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E is the phone number to call. And at the beginning of the show, we usually have a line available. And that's exactly what we've got right now, is a line available. So we also have people chomping at the bit to get on. So we had a straggler from last week. I had to think about this. I believe our straggler was, people with blue eyes and red hair are more likely to develop this habit than people with other eye or hair color combinations. What habit? All right. So, and yes, I'll give you the source because I can't believe it myself, but okay, what would that be? Then if you don't know that, maybe you'll know a bumper stumper. I've been kind to you on a couple of records and ridiculously cruel on some others, so we'll see. There's no theme other than I like them all. All right, so, and probably none of them charted. Well, at least not very high. I don't know. I didn't check. So that, nothing that comes to mind for me. Oh, one of them bubbled under in the 90s, I think, or something. In any event, if you don't know my bumper stumpers and you have no idea about my straggler, my blue-eyed, red-haired people, then you have your own category, and sky is the limit on that, as we prove every week. In fact, Ruth has been waiting since before the show began, and she wants America the Beautiful song trivia. All right, so Ruth, welcome back to WGN Radio. Let me get the magic twanger so I can get you on board here, and here we go. So thanks, Ruth.
Hi, thank you so much. I am requesting this song for former Schoolboy Gurney member Catherine Campbell. She's been the recipient of one of my 50 states in honor of the 250th anniversary to receive a bundle of fortune cookies. And so I thought I would like to request this trivia question, and also patriotic songs.
Yeah, let's go with the songs. The trivia question will get you, but what are the songs?
Sif, Johnny Cash has one, and Roy Orbison.
All right. And what are they?
For those artists.
All right.
I don't know what they are. I think Johnny Cash does.
Okay. Just find patriotic songs done by Johnny Cash and Roy Orbison. Okay. I'll take my task seriously, and we'll get to your question. And, of course, it has to be regarding America the Beautiful, which, as you know, began as a poem written by an English professor in 1893. This woman was inspired by one thing to write America the Beautiful. What was that one thing?
The mountain.
Be specific.
Pike's Peak?
Yes, absolutely. Pike's Peak. That's right. And why? What? You already
and
won.
Her name was Catherine, too.
Yeah,
that's
no,
Catherine
Bates. But here is the deal. And you already won because of Pike's Peak. But what was it that caused her to be so inspired?
what was it that caused her to be inspired? The beauty.
Well, obviously the breathtaking view. But the reason was that she was there taking it all in for quite a while of time. She was exhausted from the mule ride up the mountain. as she lay there, probably contemplating everything, including her breathing, the breathtaking view took over. So, yes, absolutely, it was Pike's Peak.
That's an add to the story. I appreciate that, Uncle Sam. She was a mule up there. Wow.
Yep. And actually, she didn't write the melody. She wrote the words, of course. The melody was written about 11 years prior. Do you know by who?
The professor?
No, a church organist, Samuel Ward.
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Uncle Sam. All right.
Well, there you go. Hang on.
Okay, thanks,
Don't
Riley.
Go away.
Thank
Stay
you
where
so
you are.
Much.
Appreciate it. All right, good deal. Perfect. Perfect call. All right. So I say that because sometimes Ruth is intolerably long-winded, and she did very well on that. So we compliment her tremendously for that. All right. So 888-876-5593. Don and Beloit's got some guesses on my question. All right, Don, get down with your bad self. What do you think?
Hey, Riley. This is a habit of these people. These blue-eyed, freckled.
Well, they're more. It's probably a habit of a lot. It's a habit of, I don't doubt, of a lot of people. But in raw numbers, people with blue eyes and red hair are more likely to develop this habit than other eye and hair color combinations. By the way, I know the source, but it doesn't tell me who did the research. So I'd love to know who came up with that. It must have been a PhD wanting.
I'm trying to say this in the right words, but less likely to have children.
No. What else you got?
Smoking.
Nope.
I'm going to go Northern Europe FIFA soccer on you here, but alcoholism.
Nope.
Staying out of the sun.
Nope.
That would make sense. Riley, I have no idea. Sorry, that was my guess. It's the best of the Don.
Ah, well, it sounds
okay.
Sounds good to me. All right, so looking for good questions about the Battle of Britain, since that's what you want. And the first 10 I come across, you'd know no matter what. So I'm trying to find out something that would be a little more offbeat. So little known. And there were a lot of things about that, actually, that were somewhat interesting. And but we all know it's the Battle of Britain. Where did it get its name?
The Battle of Britain? Well, I mean, they're fighting for the island. The kingdom is on the line here. I'm not sure what you mean
well,
by that. Where did the Battle of Britain get...
Yeah, the Battle of Britain was coined more than 3 weeks before the combat began.
Oh. Hitler was getting ready to invade with his operas. I apologize. I can't remember the name of his word for invasion of Great Britain. Not sure where you're going with this. Sorry. Maybe give me another hint.
Well, I'll give you another question. But the answer to that, by the way, was in Winston Churchill's speech more than 3 weeks before the combat began.
Oh.
He referred to it as "This is the Battle of Britain." Yes, you should have. But
I should have known that.
The campaign was they say the campaign was fueled by this. And what's interesting there is it's something that caused the pilots and others to be so good at what they did or not. I mean, I'd leave that to you. But it was an aerial campaign fueled by this. Fueled by what?
You mean like by like hot tea breaks? Is that what we're talking?
Well, keep going.
Is this a refreshment thing or high octane aviation fuel?
It's neither, but it would be closer to refreshment than fuel.
Oh. The British pilots and all those foreign pilots, yeah, they all took quick breaks between. airfield refueling, rearming.
No, this is, and you're right, they were incredibly young and international, of course, as we know. We talked about that last week. And this spurred them on to greatness in some cases, in other cases, some bizarre tactical mistakes.
This is so obscure. Sorry, I don't think I know this.
Amphetamines.
Oh, yes, I see. Yeah, early in the war, the Germans were doing that in the Low Countries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. They backed off later because it just got too out of control. But well, you're right, both sides had it. Both sides needed it.
Yeah, it was the bizarre tactical mistakes that caused them to back off, yes.
I see. Well, when your life's on the line in your homeland, you do anything you can to stay awake.
Well, there you are.
That's true.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Raleigh. Have a great show.
Thanks.
Looking forward to listening to it.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. So yes, fueled by amphetamines. Of course, you know, now that I know that was behind all of Northern Soul and the all-nighters, I expect that to be the answer for everything British. All right. So we'll get to Billy Bob and Bourbonnais. He wants 1966 charts, and Barry in New Hampshire has gone back to the Beatles. Well, all that and more is coming up, and there is room for you on Monday Night Trivia. So our question again, obscure though it is, people with blue eyes and red hair are more likely to develop this habit than people with other eye or hair color combinations. What habit? And by the way, it's a habit across, you know, human beings of all sizes, stripes, colors, whatever. But apparently, percentage-wise, that combination of red hair and blue eyes, more people have this habit. What? 888-876-5593-8888, R-O-L-L-Y-E, on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and well, that's, I won't say it's a gift, but more common than most of the stuff I play. A 1986 on the Knob Hill label, yes. And so there you have your first bumper stumper. We'll go back in time for sure. All right, so Lisa in Dundee called. Thank you, Lisa. All right, and she wanted me to know I had the wrong straggler. Oh, doesn't that figure? I'm telling you, I miss Carol more and more. She kept me honest with this. I thought that this particular question that I'm about to share with you was gotten last week. But apparently I went back, and of course Lisa's better at this than me. She's absolutely right. We were in the middle of asking this. So now we have two stragglers at the same time, one of which is not a straggler. I guess the people with the blue eyes and the red hair is a new question. Could go on till next week if you don't get it. But the straggler, which will be decided tonight, people are more likely to do this in Nevada and least likely to do it in Alabama. Do what? All right. So there you go. I got it out of the Arizona Republic from quite a while ago, but it was in the newspaper. Yes, I don't know why. I have no idea what the subject of the article really was. But in it, people are more likely to do this in Nevada and least likely to do it in Alabama. Do what? All right, so there we are. Let's free up Don's line because we are full now. We are not 888-876-5593. So you have your first bumper stumper, and you now have two questions, a straggler and a new one, to work on. And still, when all else fails, you can have your own category. Probably a good idea. Barry in New Hampshire, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
How's it going?
All right. John asked me if you have any more Beatle questions for me.
All right. Of course, it's nonstop. So we're going to talk about 1967 when the Beatles pooled their money together to buy this. Buy what?
They were going to buy an island, I believe, in Greece.
Yeah, actually, it was a bunch of islands. You're 100% right. They spent weeks exploring the islands and applied to the Greek government for development permission. John wanted to build individual houses for all of them connected by secret underground tunnels so they could easily pop into each other's homes. They eventually canceled the plan, probably conspired in the better living through chemistry vein. But whatever it was, they came to their senses and didn't do it. So yep. You are right. Absolutely right. Okay, well, hang on. We'll add to your stash, the never-ending stash. Don't go away. All right, so that's 100. A Greek commune. Well, you know, when you've got that kind of money. I was thinking about them earlier today, actually, because it was Taylor Swift who had been commenting on something that broke her brain when Billy Joel said that she was the Beatles of her day, meaning the popularity. And I thought to myself, well, I'll tell you what, dollars-wise, she sure surpassed them. Yeah, just like some of the ball players today and the kind of money they make. So, hey, good for her. All right, so 888-876-5593. Shall we get into some chart action here? I believe Billy Bob and Bourbon A wants to do that. So, Billy Bob and Bourbon A, welcome back to WGN Radio. I know, 102nd call, is it?
You got it.
Yeah.
And then I got a request. I bet I got a stumper for you, finally. I finally got going to get you here.
Oh, it's easy.
What you call it there, The Tide Is High by Blondie.
Yeah.
But back in the late 60s, there was a group that came out with that record first that didn't have much success. And who do you think that group was? And I'd like to request their version.
Really? All right.
You know that group?
I'm trying to think who would have done that. Is it a group I'd know for something else?
Well, I never heard of them before.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right.
Never even had it.
Oh, okay. Okay, I do know this. This was a Jamaican group.
It's reggae beat to it.
It was Jamaican, and it was John Holt's group. I don't remember what he called him, but John Holt was the guy. John Holt did it, and I remember the label was Treasure Isle. And which Duke Reed owned. So I could probably...
I thought I finally stopped you, but I guess I didn't.
Well, like I said, it was John Holt's group, and I think it was like... It was named after... It's the same name as a doo-wop group. Let me think of it. Paragons? One of those?
You got it.
All right.
Yep.
Well...
You're amazing.
Well, not really. It's a shot at the
bumper stumper.
Okay, good. What do you think?
I'll say in Las Vegas, does it have to do with the gaming industry?
Oh, okay. By the way, no, that's not a bumper stumper. Bumper stumper would be the song. You want to know about our straggler. That's it.
Teaser.
Yeah. So for our straggler, no, it has nothing to do with the gaming industry.
Oh, well, then I give up then.
All right. Well, I'll get your Kingston, Jamaica song on, and I think I even have that single. I believe it's on Treasure Isle. Like I say, it's a silver label with, like, maroon writing. But John Holt was the guy, in case
well,
you
I never ever heard that original one by the Paragons. I'd like you to get that one if you could.
Yeah, no, I know I have it as a 45. All right, we'll do it. Thanks. All right, so this week we will absolutely do that John Holt thing. He was from Kingston, I think. Anyway, we'll get back to it after the news right here on WGN Radio. Who's that knocking on my door? WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, anybody who considers themselves a doo-wop fan should know that. And the group was absolutely a walking soap opera. They were only around for about 3 years, although the label wound up releasing the stuff later, I would say posthumously, but as far as I know, they were all alive, except there's one we're wondering about. They formed in 1956, and they recorded, in fact, they recorded that on Shad in 1958, which didn't release it for a year, but and it did all right as far as that goes. When I say that, not really chart action, but it got quite a lot of New York airplay, and they wound up with a gig at the Apollo. Pretty venerable, right? Well, and that was absolutely fine until, oh man, until 3 days into a week-long gig at the Apollo, the second tenor disappears, vanishes. He runs off to Canada with a woman he's never been seen or heard from since. Not a word. But nonetheless, they left us with a wonderful song, which I think maybe got to number 71, if that. And then they had an answer record, which did even less. But it was interesting as far as other members of the group. They really didn't get anywhere until Claude Johnson joined them, who had actually been singing with Eugene Pitt. But Eugene Pitt was not in this group at all. But anyway, he left his gig with Eugene and was doing that. And then one of the members, actually Claude, who was probably most prolific of the guys, Claude Johnson, he then teamed up with Roland Trone. And if you're saying, who were Claude and Roland? Well, you'd know him as Don and Juan. And that was the deal. And Claude Johnson was really kind of a songwriter of note. And he not only composed Who's That Knockin', but also the big Don and Juan hit. And about 70 titles registered with BMI. I don't know about any hits. But yeah, Claude Johnson, like I say, was late to the group. And he was the only one not from Long Beach. He was from another part of Brooklyn, I guess. So there you have the history of them. So who are they with all that? All right, now, enough about that. Billy Bob in Bourbonnais wants to do a 1966 chart. Sorry, I forgot about you, Billy Bob. This week in 1966?
That's fine.
I know, you'd think I was in the Better Living Through Chemistry plan, but not. All right, so here we are for this week in 1966. Number one, Strangers in the Night.
Frank Sinatra.
Number two, Paperback Writer.
The Beatles.
Number three, Red Rubber Ball.
Circle.
Number four, Painted Black.
The Rolling Stones.
Number five, You Don't Have to Say You Love Me.
That was a lady thing.
Yes, yes, British, yes, on Phillips. Big.
Dusty Springfield?
Yes, absolutely right. Number six, Hanky Panky.
Tommy James and the Shondells.
Number seven, Cool Jerk.
Oh, there we go again.
Oh, you
the
got
Capitals.
Yes, the Capitals, yeah. Absolutely. Number eight, I Am a Rock.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Yes, absolutely. Number nine, Did You Ever Have to Make Up Your Mind?
11 Spoonful.
And number 10, Barefootin'.
Yeah, evidently, I must have. Sounds like a repeat or something, because I forgot who that was, and that I ain't going to remember him again.
Ah, that was Robert Parker doing Barefootin'.
All right.
But you did very well. 9 out of 10, certainly a winner. Hang on. Don't go away.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Now, we're not counting this as call number 103. It was a continuation of 102. All right. Just keeping your list honest. All right. Now, hang on. Let's see. I remember that and nothing else. Yeah, that's the way it is. All right. Now, let's see. Oh, we're going to stay with charts a moment. How about that? Fran is in Austin. All right, Fran, how you feeling tonight?
I'm doing all right. I just thought I'd challenge myself for a change and see if I could do charts for 63.
Excellent. Well, it's a noble year. Probably the last one I liked. All right.
I love that year. Yeah. I mean, even though, I mean, I was 7 years old, but I had the radio on all the time. And
yeah, literally 63 was it for me with pop music. That was my last year. So, whoa, Fran, what happened to Fran? All right. Fran's going to call back. I just know it. So. So let me release that line. Phone service is worth what we pay for it these days, don't you know? Which is, yeah, right. So we really can't complain, you know. Back in the AT&T days when, you know, $5 for the first 3 minutes and $1.99 every minute thereafter. Although, man, it was full duplex and it worked. But I'll take the dirt road days of today, considering what we pay for it. So Fran is calling back. I can see that. We're going to do charts with Mike, by the way, as well. Robert in Chicago knows a bumper, I would expect. All right, and here we go again. All right, Fran. It was a very robust busy signal. So good to hear from you again.
I didn't know whether I touched something on my phone or what happened, but all of a sudden I couldn't hear you.
Probably not. So. No, it was probably not. It did it all on its own. I have every reason to believe that. All right.
So
it is the week ending June 29th. That would be today. Number one.
Okay.
1963. Sukiyaki.
Oh God, I know it, but I can't say
You can do it.
Something moto, I guess.
You're right. Moto is the end of it. And I'll give you his first name was Q, or Caillou, or how you say. We all said Q. But Caillou.
I know who it is, but I can't say it.
All right, we'll give you half credit for that. Sakamoto.
Okay.
All right.
Sakamoto. Okay.
Number two, It's My Party. And I'll cry if I want to. You would cry too if it happened to you.
Oh my God, I know who this is. I couldn't think of her name the other day. God, I know her well. I know my.
Yeah, I know you do. And actually, she did. Quincy Jones produced her. And I thought her Look of Love was a masterpiece.
One of my favorites of hers is You Don't Own Me, but I.
Yeah, right.
Why am I not thinking of her name? I'm having one of those senior moments.
And
she
didn't spell it the way most girls did, so I always see it spelled wrong.
God, I hate this because I know it.
Oh, yeah, you do. Leslie Gore.
Leslie Gore, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
It's L-E-S-L-E-Y.
I just couldn't get it into what's left of my brain.
That's all right. You'll know number three, I'm convinced. Hello, stranger. It seems like a mighty long time. Shabop, shabop, my baby, ooh.
Oh, God, I just heard this.
Hello, stranger.
You know what? I'm having a problem tonight.
The flip side was Think a Little Sugar.
Think a Little Sugar. Yeah. Why am I doing this? I shouldn't have done this tonight.
And Ollie McLaughlin.
I don't know what's wrong.
Ollie McLaughlin really screwed her up, didn't give her royalties. She wrote it.
You know what? You know what? Something is wrong with me tonight. I'm not coming up with names that I know.
And I know you know. No, absolutely. Would you like to switch to lyrics, or are you going to give up?
I think I will try to switch to lyrics. I don't, you know, this is not like me. I know these people as well as I know the back of my hand.
I know.
Leslie Gore, how can I miss that?
Yeah, and Barbara Lewis, no, you know. You absolutely
Barbara
know.
Lewis? No. Yeah. What, there's something, my brain just isn't coming up with the right words tonight or something.
Let's blame methotrexate. I blame it for just about everything else, so we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yet another side effect they don't tell you about when they say, don't worry. Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, I've been having a lot of trouble with that lately anyway, but I just think, you know, because I'll try to think of a name of somebody and I'll, you know, what's her name?
Right.
I'm really, really kind of worried about it. But then I think, well, what happens is it's a vicious circle. You worry about it and then you do it.
Well, of course.
And
of course, the worst part
is. Once I did it with Leslie Gore, then I was like, oh, what's wrong with me?
Right. You know? Oh, absolutely. And the worst part about this is you never forget the bad things. They're in living color in your mind.
I know. And it's like, I mean, you know what kind of music I like. You know that I knew these songs.
Yes, I know you know these songs.
I mean, these artists. Yeah.
All right. But, well, I'll be picking out a year. What year do you want lyrics from?
I'll try 63.
Really? Okay. Well, hang on. It'll be a couple minutes because I got to find the perfect song here. Don't go away. All right. So, yes, we can absolutely do 63 lyrics. We'll do charts again. Mike is in Elmwood Park. Hello, Mark. Welcome to WGN Radio. What's
Thanks,
up,
Willie.
Mike? All right.
Not Mark.
So we're doing 1968. Yeah, why couldn't I see that? I don't know. All right, let's see what we have here. And I remember it well, unfortunately. June 29th, 1968. Number one, This Guy's in Love with You.
Herb Alpert.
Number two, The Horse.
Cliff Noble.
Number three, MacArthur's Park.
Richard Harris.
Number four, Yummy, Yummy, Yummy.
Ohio Express.
Number five, The Look of Love, and not the wonderful Leslie Gore record of a few years earlier.
The Look of Love, I believe Sergio Mendez.
Yes, I'm afraid so. Yes, Sergio Mendez, who I normally like. Number six, Moni Moni.
Tommy James and the Shondells.
Yes, number seven, Angel of the Morning.
Mary Lee Russ and the Turnabouts.
Hey, pretty good. And the Turnabouts, I like it. Sounds like you've been to a few Pat O'Day dances. Number eight, Think.
Think Aretha Franklin.
Yes. Number nine, Here Come the Judge. And it's not the Pig Meat Markham version.
Shorty Long.
Yes. Yes. Who sadly died on this date in 1969.
Wow. Number, he was an arranger. I thought he was an arranger, too.
He was a writer. He did a number of things. But my favorite, of course, he did the original Devil with the Blue Dress the way it was supposed to be done.
Not like Mitch Ryder.
Oh, God. Pain. Pain. Yes, absolutely. Number 10. Reach Out of the Darkness.
Friendly Lover.
Yes, all right. Hey, you aced him. Let's see how far you go. Number 11 is Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Rolling Stones.
12, Mrs. Robinson.
Simon and Garfunkel.
13, Grazing in the Grass.
It's either Human, yep. You want the lyric one?
Instrumental. Or this is 68.
Human and Tequila.
Yep. 14, Lickin' Stick. Oh, God, could only be.
That one, I don't know.
Oh, God. Well, who would do an instrumental, basically an instrumental, not entirely, but called Lickin' Stick? I mean, come on. It's only got to be one guy.
I'm honest with you, Riley. I got a blank.
Okay, that was the venerable James Brown.
Really?
You don't remember Lickin' Stick? Oh God!
No.
Oh, I think I've got it as an instrumental right here. Wait a minute, let me. Maybe when you hear it, I don't know. I think that's about the time stations were getting away from hourly news, so they didn't have to play instrumentals up to news. But but before they did, that's why I said they all should have been titled "This Will Take Us Up to News." But here was James Brown and the famous or not so famous Flames.
Ow! Mama, come here quick and bring that licking stick.
All right.
That doesn't ring a bell at all.
Yeah. and think about it. It got all the way to number 14 nationally.
Really?
Yeah. And what's interesting is number 15 was Lady Willpower, and I know you know that.
Yeah, with Gary Puckett and Union Gap.
Well, you did very good. I'm pleased. All right. Hang on. Don't go away. And again, you're doing this largely for the fun of it, but eventually you will be surprised when you go to your mailbox. I don't know if you'll still be alive, but I'm hoping. So go, stay where you are. All right. So I really am hoping. And life intervened on the mailing. So it's just the way it is. All right. Now let me put Mike on hold if I can do that. And then, Robert's going to guess a bumper. Fran wants her 63 lyrics. And, of course, Cindy is back to Miss Fisher trivia. There's only so much I can say about Miss Fisher, but we'll see if I can come up with something on WGN Radio.
Just a matter of time till he holds me tight, and we walk home and we kiss goodnight. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. Gotta make him up, baby.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1965 on Columbia. In fact, she was one of the artists they were touting after they overthrew Mitch Miller, got him out of there, and decided they were going to release more rock and roll stuff. And she was on that giveaway at the Columbia Records Convention of 1965. And her actual name was Janice Friedman, and I think she was just graduating from high school. But I want to know who's on the record. What's her name as far as her professional name? She wound up marrying, Jerry Ross. So that was, and sadly died fairly young from something like the flu. It was really, really sad. But anyway, who was she? All right, so 888-876-5593. All right, Robert knew a bumper. So, all right, Robert, what'd you know?
Yes, the bumper stumper, Who's That Knockin', I believe that was done by the Genies.
Absolutely, on Shad, released in 1959. You betcha.
Right, and you were saying that two of the members one of the members
was from Don and Juan. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Claude
Johnson.
Yeah.
I never remember. It was Claude Johnson and Roland Trone. I don't remember whether Claude was Don and Roland was Juan, but that's who they were. They were Claude Johnson and Roland Trone.
I never knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. There were no Don, there were no Juan, but yeah, Claude had come to the group like a year or two later, about the time they were doing that week at the Apollo when the singer ran off with a woman and disappeared. But he did write. He wrote a number of things as well, including "Who's That Knockin'," which he wrote. So yeah.
Claude Johnson. Wow.
Yep. All right. Yeah. Well, you are a winner. Yeah. Hang on. Don't go away. I should actually look that up while I'm sitting here, whether Claude was Don or Juan. Not that I'd ever really remember. Was Claude? Let's see if AI will tell me. Ha. was he Don or Juan? AI actually is great when you've got a technical question, something that's current. But, man, you ask him about R&B, and it gets hilarious. Claude Johnson was Juan, it says. He and his partner, Roland Trone. Roland was Don. All right, so that's Don and Juan. There you go. Pretty good. All right, it must have been an article online, obviously. So there you have it, and they were from Long Beach, New York. All right, so now we are back to Fran's 1963 lyrics. And actually, we were talking a lot about this song last week, so I know that you'll know them. You ready? Are you still with me, Fran? There you are. All right. Disappeared from
there. There I am. Yeah, yes. I hope so. I was so embarrassed, I almost hung up.
Well, no. You don't want to hang up because you'll know this. Like I said, we were talking about it last week. Okay. Newborn whippoorwills were calling from the hills. Summer was a-coming in but fast.
Oh, Sunday That Summer.
I know that you know it. Now, interestingly, the other night I was up, for late for me, so it was after 5 a.m. It was pretty late, and I was getting things done. And I was searching for something, and not this, believe me. And I came across this guy doing That Sunday That Summer on the theremin.
Whoa.
Yeah, you got to hear. I'll let you hear some. Because, normally you think about the theremin, and that, for anybody who hasn't seen it, is an instrument you play with your hands, and only your hands.
Right.
And it's usually the stuff that Clara Rockledge, I think was her name, like the science fiction stuff. You don't normally hear a ballad. So here,
isn't that what the Beach Boys used in Good Vibrations?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, they used it in Good Vibrations. You're 100% right. That was a theremin that was in Glendale. But anyway, so here is this guy who is this average-looking guy who actually for a while made theremins, if you're ready for that. And he was demonstrating the theremin 302. And obviously he was an engineer, to say the least. And he demonstrated with That Sunday That Summer. You got it. This is one of those
hold
who are,
that
if
thought.
You, oh, John says, hold that thought. Okay, I'll play it right after the news.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So
okay.
Keep listening. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
I will.
All right. So, you got to hear this. And you will right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Boom, 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 boom.
All I want you to know.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Okay, so who is he? And yes, you absolutely know. Not from that song, you don't, but you know. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. So there is your bumper stumper. Now, as far as your question, we're working on two of them, actually. One is a straggler. Thank God for Lisa, because I forgot about it. I thought another one was a straggler. So we have this one straggler and this question I threw out. The straggler will retire next hour. The other question will go till next week if you don't get it tonight. So the first one, the actual straggler. People are more likely to do this in Nevada and least likely to do it in Alabama. Do what? And that's actually from an article in the Arizona Republic. I have no idea what they were discussing. It couldn't have been this. Well, I don't think so anyway. All right. So now, the other question I threw out, because I thought it was the straggler and it isn't. People with blue eyes and red hair are more likely to develop this habit than people with other eye and hair color combinations. What habit? And by the way, regardless of your eye or hair color, a lot of people have this habit. But statistically, percentage-wise, yeah, red hair, blue eyes, you'll do this. Do what? All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And let's see here. I'm not 100% sure what's going on with Sam and Gurney, but we'll find out on WGN Radio. What's up, Sam?
Hey, Raleigh, how are you?
All right, how about yourself? How is everything going?
We're trying to get through it. It's been a tough season, but I'm so thankful for you and John. And
oh, yeah.
But I just wanted to say about the red hair and blue eyes, I kind of think it has something to do with playing a musical instrument.
It doesn't. That's interesting, though. I like the way you think, but it doesn't.
Okay. And if I can steal a little bit more of your time.
All you want.
I just wanted to say that, can I do that?
All you want.
Okay. I just wanted to say that I have been so, I'm trying to think what the word I'm looking for is, but just.
We'll go with overcome. We'll go with overcome and go from there. With what?
Okay, we'll try that. But anyway, I just wanted to say that I, you know, love you and John, and I love your program, and I've just appreciate you so much. But I have just, there's been so many things going on in life that have been overwhelming, and just really appreciate your prayers, and just it's
absolutely
been really, really troubling time, and just, you know, just trying to get through it, but I'm always very, very grateful for both of you.
Well, that's so nice, and we're delighted to have you, whether you call or you don't, and I understand both of them. And hopefully this will be the year when things resolve.
Yeah, and I do want to say that my granddaughter we do have her through the summer.
Thank God.
So I'm very grateful for that. The state of Wisconsin has allowed that to happen, and
thank
God. So we have her Monday through Friday, and it's a wonderful thing, and I'm just so grateful for it, and I couldn't have gotten through it without you.
Yeah. Now, how old is she now?
She turned 8 in May.
Okay, good.
And just, you know, she turned 8 in May, and just, it's been a really, really...
No, that's great.
Time, and I can't, when I called you initially, I actually had other intentions to speak to you and say things that have taken place, and I pretty much just lost my mind when I was on the phone because life is that troubling right now.
Yeah, no, I get it. But I get it. And that's where you take deep breaths and you try to never look at the whole picture. Because if you look at everything together, it's completely overwhelming. You have to break it up into pieces and concentrate on what you can at that moment. But the fact that she's 8 years old, she's very cognizant. And if she's got the whole summer with you and your daughter and all that, that's a wonderful time. And I don't blame you for being thankful about that.
And I thank you so much for that. And yeah, and just like I said, when I called you, I had other intentions and I had other thoughts, and I just meant to say other things, and I just was on the phone for so long. I'm just so tired.
I don't blame you, but you call me back anytime.
Okay,
all
I
right.
love you, man.
Thanks, appreciate
Bless
it.
You.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah, I know I'm too long-winded, and I try not to have you guys holding forever, but invariably that's what happens because I'm me. But Maria is a first-time caller, and we defer to them because they don't hang on. So, Maria, welcome back to WGN Radio. Not back, actually, the first time. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Yes, I wanted to answer the question regarding blue-eyed, red-headed people.
What do you
the
think?
The habit that they have.
Yeah.
What They're happened? Left-handed.
Oh, I like that. That's not right, but that's, and that wouldn't be a habit,
oh,
actually. No, that wouldn't be a habit.
What?
That wouldn't be a habit. I don't think you can control, I don't think you can control whether you're left-handed or not, but that's an interesting guess. If you think of something else, call me back.
Okay, thanks.
Right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. So, yeah, I think left-handed, that's genetics or something. Yeah, you don't get much of a choice of that. Though, man, how long did they try to break kids of, quote-unquote, the habit? No, no good came of that. Cheryl and Elgin, welcome to WGN Radio. Cheryl.
Hello?
Yes, what do you think?
Oh, hi, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
You kind of fuzzed out there for a minute.
I do that.
I'd like to take a guess at the redheaded question.
Okay.
Is it stuttering?
It is not stuttering. That's a lovely guess, though.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Cheryl.
Bye.
All right, so yeah, that's a good guess. It's just not right. Other than that, it's just perfect. Let's see, what do we have with Cindy in Chicago? All right, Cindy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yes, I think you should drop the Las Vegas question. This is a family show.
Wait a minute, this is a family answer.
Okay, well, the only thing I can think of, I live in Sodom and Gomorrah, so my
No, there's nothing untoward about it.
Okay, well, then maybe I thought of one guest, have a air-conditioned doghouse.
I like that. No.
All right, well... Okay, it's a family question then.
Well, I mean, it's certainly not a question that has a seamier side to it that I can figure out.
Okay, well, I have no. And then the redheaded question.
Yeah.
I had a mood today. My cousin went for a walk at 5:30 in the afternoon.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
Well, it's 92 degrees out. He's 70, going on 73, and the heat index was 110.
Okay.
So I prayed to God he wouldn't end up in Our Lady of Resurrection 2 miles away.
And he's fine, I take it.
Yes, he is. I prayed to God. Neighbor's mom, she told me she called him crazy when she saw him. But then, the only really redheaded person, a haired person I knew personally was my linguistics teacher, and she was mean.
Mm-hmm. It's not meanness.
No, but that's a, yeah. I'm in a mood today.
Yeah, I can tell.
You're going to hang up on me. First I want my request. I'm going to tell you my request.
Okay.
My request. I won't live in a world without love.
Okay. Please lock me away and don't allow the day. Yes, a world without Peter and Gordon. Peter and Gordon.
Red-headed people, maybe they pick their nose.
Nope, that's not it. No. Hey, it's a better guess than a lot that I've gotten, trust me.
I don't know. I mean, it's just the strangest. That's about the weirdest question you ever came up with. I have no idea.
Well, you'll know next week because that's not our straggler, it turns out. So, or somebody will guess it. All right, so we've got a Miss Fisher question. This may be the last Miss Fisher question because I'm running out of them.
All right.
Now, it was...
Next time I'll go to Sanford and Son or back to Bewitched.
Okay. It was a good thing for Miss Fisher that when she wound up in Melbourne, crime was absolutely off the charts high. But what happened? Why was crime so high there?
Let me think. I don't really know, like, from the show, but why was it so high there? Because
when she was there, we're talking about the 1920s.
Yeah. Okay, because of the women's temperance league, and Temperance League, and trying to get rid of alcohol.
Nope. Give up.
I guess I do.
Prior to World War I, Melbourne was famously prosperous. In the latter 19th century, it was high living. But after World War I, times became very tough. The gold rush was over. The median income plunged. The upscale neighborhoods were partly replaced by workhouses or slums or shantytown. And here comes Miss Fisher, and here is Melbourne in a hopeless state because of economics, where crime is out of sight, which it wasn't prior to the 20s.
Oh. Well, there's a lot of questions I could ask about different, shows.
Yeah, but not about her, because I just don't, I don't know these shows, as you know. I'm doing it from online searches, and there's very little about this, because there weren't many episodes either. So I'm going to run out of Miss Fisher.
There's 3 years of episodes.
That's not a lot. And the bottom line is that most of the sources of trivia don't have anything on this particular show. So I wind up having to go to historians and things like that. For instance, one of the things that happened is not really a question, but if you'll notice when you look at the sets, some were wired for electricity, but it was a fairly new concept. So a lot of things were not. They'd feature both candles and electric lights used at the same time, including in Miss Fisher's own lavish home. So she used candles more as a decorative feature, frivolously as opposed to an essential item. But for many people in Melbourne, that was still lights. So those are interesting things, but they're not the kind of thing that make for a good trivia question. Like I could tell you that during the time this show was set, Vegemite was invented. I doubt that the show dealt with Vegemite.
Oh,
it was
invented
in Melbourne in 1922. Yep. So like I say, I'm running out.
Okay, well, I'll try Sanford's on next time.
Sounds good. We'll do that. All right.
I love Sanford. That was
very good.
Was that a Norman Lear show?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of who produced that. I had friends who worked on all these shows. I think it was Norman Lear. I think it was Tandem. It was Norman Lear and Bud Yorkin, I think, Tandem. And it was it was NBC.
All right.
Good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, and at the time, in 1972, Red Fox was making a lot of money. By today's version, that wouldn't be the case. He made $25,000 per half-hour episode, making him the highest-paid African-American comedian on primetime television. But still, by today's standards, it pales. All right, I had said to Fran, who I think is still listening, that I would play this. This is one of the more unusual things I've run across on YouTube. And if you can see, I advise you to go there and watch this guy. Because he's obviously an engineer who had developed theremins, a little different from what Lev Theremin did originally in Russia. But I don't know why he chose it. Not an easy song to do in many ways. But he did a version of That Sunday That Summer. And he got some friends to accompany him, like on piano and drums and guitar. But for the most part, everything you hear on the melody line, this guy is doing solely with his hands. Mm-hmm. yeah, just amazing to me. And his name is Art Harrison, and he had Harrison Instruments, and that was the 302 theremin. And yeah, it, not like you normally would hear on the Beach Boys or on the science fiction movies, but just incredible to me that that was totally done with two hands in the air, obviously, not touching anything, because that's the whole purpose of the theremin. So yeah, just amazing stuff. So yeah, that was, I don't know, 5:45 in the morning when I was looking, like I say, something complete, and I came across this, and I was literally spellbound, like, whoa. All right, so I believe there's something else to do in another bumper stumper coming up in moments right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, 1964 on Imperial. And, you know, I thought that would have been a hit. Yeah, when I first heard it back then, I thought that is a great little record and absolutely nothing. P.F. Sloan was in that group, and it is a group. Okay, so who are they? 888-876-5593. We'll review the questions. All lines are full. And so when you hear somebody leave, that's the time to call back in. And, of course, you can have your own category. So we will reconvene after the news right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So who are they? Yeah, a lot of pedigree there and history as well. And I know someone will know, maybe it'll be you. 2001, actually, so that was clearly later in their careers, to say the least. All right, so 888-876-5593. When somebody hangs up, that means a line will be available and you can grab it. So keep the number handy. Now, we have a straggler. People are more likely to do this in Nevada and least likely to do it in Alabama. Do what? All right. And Cindy wanted to make sure we remembered it was a family-friendly show. Oh, the whole family would gather, no doubt. All right, so what is it? And then my mistaken straggler, which is actually a new question. People with blue eyes and red hair are more likely to develop this habit than people with other eye or hair color combinations. What habit? All right, so those are the questions. Now, you have some bumper stumpers we're working on. And Robert knew the genies. So far, that's been it. But maybe you know something. Otherwise, all is not lost because you can have your own category and sky is the limit on that because everybody knows something about something. So, with that in mind, oh, Andy in Los Angeles. We're going back to New York Radio. Andy, welcome back. How are you this week?
All right, how are you?
Oh, can't complain. I thought about it all week, you know, because we can't keep doing top 40 because there's only so much of it, you know. In the 70s, we could bring in like WWDJ and Hackensack, but that was not the 60s. And you do request the 60s. So here we are.
Okay.
A well-known New York radio personality throughout the 1960s and beyond started in New York radio with an afternoon drive show, an hour long from 4 to 5 in the afternoon in 1955, called Drive East. Who was he?
Drive East. He started in 1955.
And he did Drive
East. He worked through the 60s.
And, well, then the next year he moved overnights in 1956 for 6 months. And then he was on Sunday nights. And then after that, he took off and we're not going to tell you anymore.
Okay. Let me think.
And I mean hugely popular.
Okay. Good question. I'll give you that. I am going to have to guess. Overnights.
For 6 months.
For 6 months. Mm. Nope. Don't have it.
Gene Shepard on WOR.
Oh, really? All right, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he started out with Night People. Really? Then he moved to overnights. And what's so funny is people always talk about the show Night People, but it was only on for 6 months. Right. And then he did a Sunday night show through the 50s. And then in 1960 until 1977, they gave him a 45-minute show from 10:15 to 11 at night to do a monologue.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on WOR.
Yes, all WOR. Yes, Gene Shepard.
Okay. All right. That's a good question.
I'm glad you like it. I'll work on another one for next week.
Now, last week we talked about just a minute, WMGM.
Yes.
You know the story, I'm sure, about the trick they played, Wins played on them with the Charles de Gaulle?
Yes. You want
that
to tell it?
I'll
give you the floor. Yeah. Tell it.
Well, basically, they wanted to play it. They were rivals. And the newsroom people from WINS, which was top 40, called WMGM, and they made some kind of story that Charles de Gaulle from France wanted to give them an exclusive interview. Apparently, he was hard to get from the news stations. And they got a DJ, Willie Edmonds, who was doing the news. So they called him, and they got all excited, and they got him, and they did a good job. Not a good job, because it was so obvious that it was a fake accent and everything.
Right.
But they put Charles de Gaulle on the air. And his message was, I listen to 1010 Wins.
Yeah.
My favorite station. I thought that was brilliant, but I can't believe they got away with it.
Yeah, oh, they did.
So naive.
Yeah, they know, well, you know, back then there were so many things, like what happened in Albany at WPTR, the Juan Pfeifero story. That was the whole market got hoaxed. What it was PTR had been dominant, but suddenly they had some competition and they were real concerned. So they developed this character. They didn't put it on the radio as being theirs in any way, but it was a guy named Juan Pfeifero who was going to come to Albany and appear like at a motel somewhere, right? And he was a seer from Bolivia. Right. And he had this other sidekick. Well, Art Motor used to be a publicist for Broadway musicals, and he was a friend of the general manager. And so he did the whole campaign. And what they did was they bought time on every radio station for a month. And the deal was There was also a 30-minute remote at the Travelodge or whatever it was. I don't remember the name of the motel. But anyhow, you had to carry it. If you didn't carry it, then you didn't get paid for the spots. Well, it was a lot of money, so every station took up one 5-for-0 as coming spots. And here comes one 5-for-0. And, of course, he shows up at the at the motel. And his opening bit was, he said, because he'd been touted as a psychic. I mean, they even claimed he was on Jack Parr. They took out fake newspaper ads. It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So here comes the night, and star-studded, and everybody's there at this motel by the airport. And here he comes, and he says, you may not know me. I am a psychic from afar, and all this kind of stuff. And he says, I am Juan 5-for-0, 1-5-for-0, wonderful 1-5-for-0, 1540 WPTR, win with Juan. Well, by the time they said win with Juan, that was it. Every mic was shut off, but nobody got paid. And so then they had this poor hapless guy who was playing the part of Juan 5-for-0 on the air for like a year doing a giveaway show in middays. But it was one of the best executed bits ever. And this was
market was that?
This was Albany, WPTR Albany. Wonderful Juan. Wonderful Juan.
That's a good one.
It was all wonderful Juan is coming. Wonderful Juan is coming to the Tri-Cities. Wonderful Juan 450 1540 WPTR. Yeah. It was brilliantly executed. And since then, a lot of stations over the years did things like the Morning Flakes and other kind of commercials, but nothing held a candle to Art Motor's brilliance on the 1-5-for-0 campaign.
Yeah, that I never heard. Is it online, do you think?
I'm trying to think. Dale Camery was 1-5-for-0. He was in Chicago for a while, not as a radio guy. He was like an ad guy or something. But let me see if there is 1-5-for-0, F-I-F-E-R-O. WPTR. The Great Juan Caper. All right. Here it is. There's just an article, unfortunately. But you can read it. It is a wonderful... what had happened was the competitor was WTRY, and they did a thing where they were trying to spoof the market that somebody was coming, and it was a minor thing. Well, somebody might have been coming there, but when they got to Art Motor in on the game, it was just terrific. The youth from out of the beyond, the Great Juan from Lake Titicaca, all of that. I'm trying to think of the general manager because he was great. I loved that general manager. Duncan Mounsey, that was his name, Duncan Mounsey. Mm-hmm. He was exactly the prototype of what you'd expect, a radio general manager to be. You know, he was just crazy. I think he had managed the Rockettes before that. Which is how he knew Art. But read that story. I think you will love it.
Yeah. Those stories are great, but that's I hadn't heard that before.
Oh, good. Okay. Talk to you next week.
Very good. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And I've often wanted to find... Dale Camery, the guy who played 1-5-for-0 on that, because he had an assistant like Miss Katerina La Paz or something like that. But it was a gal who was an actress, and she hated him. She was afraid of 1-5-for-0. You know, she was afraid of Dale for whatever reason. And so that was the deal. But that should propel me to look for Dale because he's around. But that 1-5-for-0. But I'm sure, should there be anything, there probably isn't anything of that on, here's another article about it from 1964 in Albany. All right. Well, that was long after the 1-5-for-0 caper. So, and there is now a 1-5-for-0. I love this date of birth, 8/15/86 from Santa Cruz, Bolivia. Oh, man. Oh, that's too good. All right. Probably has no idea about Dale Camery. All right. So I waltzed down memory lane a little too long. I'm taking up your time. We're going to get to Jim in Blackwood, New Jersey next with charts from 1976, July the 4th, coming up on WGN Radio.
Everybody in this whole wide world thinks it's time for something should happen. Something good should happen, but for me there's no need to trigger plan. I got me a girl and I feel the same. But oh, no,
likes of mine. Find herself a girl like mine. She's the kind of girl from trouble with. When it gets on time, from a red heart working day. Whoa, don't change it. Whoa, don't change it. Whoa, don't change it. Don't change it for me. Don't change it, baby. Don't change it for no. Don't change it.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. I don't know a whole lot. 1968 on Decca, they were British. That's about all I know, but maybe you know who they are. Coming up on WGN Radio. All right, so now let's release Andy's line, and there's one available for you if you want to call at 888-876-5593. Sheila wants to take a guess on our redhead blue eye combination. What habit are they more likely to develop than people with other eye or hair combinations? All right, Sheila in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio. Oh, we lost Sheila. All right, Sheila, sorry about that. I don't blame you for not waiting, but should you change your minds and get through, we'd love to talk to you. All right, so now, Jim in Blackwood, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. Good to talk to you again.
How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I guess it's I'm 76 and a half now. I never thought I'd felt that both my parents, so.
Yeah, well, none of us think we'll get to that age, and then we do. So, yeah.
Yep, so hey, when John was stage manager for, was it Dancing on Air? I guess you guys know the regular Kelly Ripa.
He was a director. He directed the show.
And Kelly Ripa was one of the regulars?
Yeah, she was a regular. I saw the tape. She was chubby.
Hmm. Yeah, I think I had cameras with her back in 89. I was taking a course at Camden County College here in Blackwood I graduated Camden County, but I came back to repeat a D because I was attending Rowan University at the time.
So okay.
And I think that might have been her only course there. Just after that, she decided to go. She left to seek fame and fortune, and she found it.
She sure did. No, absolutely. Well, when she was on that show, she was in high school. So that pretty much was the deal on that, like all those shows that they had to be kids, you know. And Dancing on Air, and it had another name, too, when it was local, and I don't remember, but yeah.
Was Dancing USA?
No, Dance Party USA was what it was when it was national. Dance Party USA, yes, yes. Yeah, but that...
It was kind of like American Bandstand and the Next Generation.
Yeah, exactly. And, it had a number of fans back then. So, yeah, but John directed it. All right. So we're going to do July 4th, 1976.
Bicentennial, yep. And the,
okay. Number one. It's interesting how many stations, particularly oldie stations, would do things like K-Earth, the Firecracker 400, where they'd count down like the 400 best oldies, and that only they weren't. Yeah, remember that well. Okay, number one, Silly Love Songs.
Paul McCartney and Wings.
Number two.
I remember when Casey Kasem played it, he said it was the number one, it was during the bicentennial, the number one song was by a British act.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. It was. Number two, Afternoon Delight.
Starland Vocal Band.
Yes, Bill and Taffy Danoff, you betcha. Number three, Misty Blue.
Dorothy Moore.
Right. Number four, Sarah Smile.
Lutz.
Yep. Number five, Shop Around. Obviously a remake.
Yeah, the Captain and Tennille.
Yep. Number six, More, More, More. How do you like it? How do you like it?
Andrea True Connection.
Yes, I'm afraid so. Proving you can have a
porn star who tried to go legit.
Exactly. Exactly. You can have kind of a change of a career there. Number 7, Get Up and Boogie.
Was that the same group that did
Fly Robin Fly, I think.
Yeah, the something of Silver Convention.
Yep, Silver Convention it is. Number 8, I'll Be Good to You.
By Neil Hill. Open this one.
Oh, you can. I'll give you their big hit, and then you'll get it right away. And a big hit was probably a year later. Strawberry Letter number 23.
Oh, the Brothers Johnson.
Yes, absolutely right. And in 76, they had I'll Be Good to You. All right, number 9, Kiss and Say Goodbye.
The Manhattans.
Yes, I loved the Manhattans when they were on Carnival, but by the time they got to Columbia, pain.
We're actually from Jersey City, not Manhattan, New York.
No, absolutely, and they were on Carnival, which was a little Jersey label, and their stuff there was wonderful, and I liked their stuff on Deluxe, and then they got to Columbia. The only difference is, of course, they had hits, but I didn't want to hear them. All right.
And, of course, wasn't that really they were like a one-hit number one wonder?
Well, probably Kiss and Say Goodbye, but I mean they had a ton of stuff on Carnival. I mean they were a great group, as far as I'm concerned. Blue Lovett, who died sadly, was in that, and
I saw him as an oldies act years ago at Philadelphia's Academy of Music.
Yeah, well, when they were on Carnival, I mean, it was truly great stuff, and I Wanna Be was probably the biggest thing they had on Carnival in '65. I Wanna Be Your Everything, that was a hit sort of, and then Searching for My Baby and I'm the One Love Forgotten, Follow Your Heart, and so many. But then, of course, they were on Columbia. But the difference is they had hits on Columbia. So, moving right along to number 10. And here you go. Number 10, Love is Alive.
But the, Gary Wright.
Yep, absolutely. Gary Wright indeed. All right, well, you almost aced the 10. Good to hear from you. We'll put you on hold, confirm that address, and hopefully you'll get something while you're still roaming the earth.
Can I give a couple of bumper requests?
Oh, but I hope you will, because you've usually got very good taste, so let me find the sheet so I won't lose it. And
I've got a couple of bumper stickers for tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm also going to write down your name so I'll know who requested it from Blackwood. All right, what are they?
Okay, I got two requests. First for the holidays. First is for Canada Day. I'd like to hear the Canadian version of This Land Is Your Land. It's the group, the Woody Guthrie group, and the group is called The Travelers with two L's.
Yeah, I know who they are. All right. I see. I was expecting doo-wop, but all right. What else?
And also another song that was peaked at 110 on the charts on July 4th of 86. It's a Dickie Goodman type record, and it's called Town Crier, and it's by a guy named Scott Key.
Mm-hmm.
Who actually has some producer out of Central Pennsylvania, and they sold the hits of that era.
All right. We'll do it to it. Good to hear from you. Hang on. Don't go away. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So there we have it. We have another hour of Monday Night Trivia, and what are we going to have here? I believe Scott in Indiana, Dave on the north side wants Flintstones, Paul in Woodstock, 5x5. Yes, we've got that tonight. Absolutely. And so that's courtesy of Lisa, who's keeping me on the straight and narrow, reminding me of what I'm doing wrong, which is everything. All right, so that will be it. And you'll have another bumper summer coming up after the news, and then a review of the stuff I've got out there, including the straggler that will go away next hour if you don't get it. And other than that, your choices will trump all. Coming up on WGN Radio. Yeah. On the apple.
traffic stop and one you won't forget. Oh, oh, she's a woman's side person out of bed. Like I said, that's a kid, yes she will. There she comes.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Okay, so who is that? 1967, and that's on Kama Sutra. And yeah, anybody in the Philadelphia area would absolutely know, but do you? All right, so we have a couple of questions, a straggler that if you don't get it this hour, we're going to give it away, and because I don't ever let you suffer more than an extra week. Then we got another one that I asked accidentally, which will become next week's straggler if you don't get it. So the one that's straggling, people are more likely to do this in Nevada and least likely to do it in Alabama. Do what? All right. And the other, people with blue eyes and red hair are more likely to develop this habit than people with other eye and hair color combinations. Now, again, this is statistical because there's less people with red hair and blue eyes. But percentage-wise, they would trump the group for this particular habit. What habit? 888-876-5593. Now, you don't like my bumper stumpers and you don't like my questions, you can have your own category. Sky is the limit on that. And courtesy of Lisa and Laura, we have 5x5. That's right. We ask you 5 questions. You got to get 4 out of 5, and you got to get your answers out within 5 seconds. I'm a little bit lenient on that, but not too much. Paul is in Woodstock. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Are you still with me, Paul? No. He went away. All right. So I appreciate your calling, though. Let's see, anybody else want to do 5x5 right now? I don't think so. Well, there is now one line available if you do. So, with that in mind, we have Scott. Scott is in Indiana. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Where are you, Scott?
Hi, I'm in Valparaiso, Indiana, in my bedroom.
Okay, Valpo. All right, good deal. I'll take that. So what are we going to do? Oh, you want Kolchak, the Night Stalker trivia. Interesting show. Interesting that you remember it. And it was, of course, only...
Yeah, I was a kid when that was on the first time, and I loved that show.
Yeah. Well, you know, the guy who was the star of it was just too tired. He asked to be released from his contract, said, I just can't do this another year. Otherwise, I'm sure it would have continued, because it was a good show. All right.
Yeah, they made 2 TV movies before that that were exceptional also.
Yeah, but just taking on too much at the same time while he was doing that. Now, one of the episodes, Horror in the Heights, about a shape-shifting demon, directly inspired this. All right, so what did it inspire? Something very famous.
Okay, well, that was the Rakshasa.
Yes, you're right. That's exactly what it was.
Name. Yeah. But what did it inspire?
Yes, it directly...
I have no idea where it is.
It directly inspired a creature in the original this. What?
In the original this show? Or
no,
this
no, show? No, 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 no. It's something unrelated. But because of that episode on that character... Something very famous included a creature based on it.
Probably the X-Files, because they rip that stuff off, but I have no idea.
And by the way, you're right about the X-Files being, and they said that too, that they were directly influenced by it, but no, and that's why I didn't ask that, it's well known. But no, Gary Gygax included the creature in the original Advanced Dungeons & Dragons Monster Manual because of seeing it on The Horror in the Heights.
No, I never would have got that.
Yeah.
But I will guess on the red hair and the blue eyes.
What do you think?
Wear a hat?
Nope. I love that answer,
sunglasses.
By the way. Nope. They're both really good answers, but no.
Sunscreen.
Nope.
Okay, I'm awesome.
Well, thanks for calling. Do it again.
You're very nice, and I can tell just from your voice, like flipping to the radio.
Yeah.
That you have good energy and you're not fake at all.
Oh.
I can't stand fakes. I get picked up right away and you're not fake at all.
You're
so
very,
I will call back.
Very kind of you to say. Yes, I'm probably the only host where the callers have to remind me it's time for the news. So you're right. Right. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. So how nice. All right. And that's it. I just come in here. Show prep means I ate something before the show started. That's as far as it gets. That's why I thank God for Lisa and Laura and my 5x5 questions and everybody else who chimes in. But mostly I thank God for all of you who call the show, because it's like talking to friends, and that's what makes it a pleasure to do. So, all right, with that in mind, let's check out Mark in Aurora. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Good evening. I got a real interesting gift from a fellow Toastmaster last Saturday.
What'd you get?
And it comes with a question for you. He gave me a Beanie Baby. He said that there was a whole table of them in a store where he was shopping, and he said that he got two bears and a rabbit and some other things, and decided to give me the rabbit. And my in-home care worker looked at it today and said, "I wonder if this is a pride Beanie Baby, because it's got all kinds of colors."
Oh, that's
interesting. And of course. But I'm wondering if Beanie Babies are making a comeback, because they used to sell in the stores, and then when they didn't, they sold for big bucks.
Yeah, some got up to 20 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if they've made a comeback, and I'm wondering if I keep this one long enough, will I be able to sell it for big bucks?
Here's the answer. There were a lot of different Beanie Baby bears, and what you need to know is which one it is. And then the answer to your question is easily found.
Well, I got the rabbit.
Oh, you got the rabbit. Which rabbit?
Well, what do you mean by which rabbit?
Well,
there
are several choices of rabbits.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So, you know, Hippity or whatever. But they've got all sorts of, here's one, the Hoppity Bunny. They've got
this
tons of...
This bunny is wearing a bow tie and boots.
Okay, let's see. Now, where I'm going with this is that when you ask me if it's worth anything, the question is how many did they make? Because the key to collectibles is what is rare. And so you want to know what's the rarest.
Exactly. And this one, I'm told, is all sorts of colors.
Yeah.
Each boot is a different color.
Okay.
Ear is a different color, and that's why my home worker wondered whether it was a pride rabbit.
Georgia the rabbit is a third generation Beanie Bunny that has very low production numbers, and I'm looking at one right now. I don't know if this is Georgia or if this this is Hippie. Hippie is different colors. I'm looking at that.
Yeah,
she's got,
okay.
But there may be others. But so George is very rare. Nibbly is hard to find.
Uh-huh.
But that's brown or white, so that's not it. The Bunny Trio,
okay,
there's three pastel bunnies together, Hippity Hoppity Floppity, and that's not it. But
it has a heart-shaped tag on it, maybe.
They all do. The heart-shaped tag just says Thai. That's the manufacturer.
Okay.
But I'm looking at, in a lot of them, like our hippie bunny and Georgia are multicolor. So that's,
I've got a multicolored one.
Right. Hippie the bunny is definitely
lavender,
multicolored.
Yeah. Lavender bow tie.
I'm going to try to look up lavender bow tie. Let's go with that. Beanie Baby Bunny is ridiculous. With bow tie. Don't give me white bows. Do me something else. Oh, apparently there's a lot of bow ties. How about that? We got multicolor.
Lavender.
Lavender bow tie?
Lavender
bow tie. Multicolor bunny. Multicolor bunny. All right, let's see what that says. Oh, that's lavender, but no, then he's just brown after that. All right. We have a vintage purple bow tie, Color Me Beanie Baby Bunny, but he's white. Let's see. Sherbert the Bunny. Okay, there's possible. Sherbert the Bunny, Dippy the Rabbit, or Floppity are pastel-colored Beanie Babies with bow ties. Now, so let me look at Sherbert. Of course, it's not worth much now. He's worth $25, so that's no big deal. But It really comes down, like I say, to how many did they make. Now, Dippy looks like a real winner here if he's wearing the bow tie, because he's the one who's really multicolor, dramatically so. So we have to find out whether we have. And I'd vote for Dippy if I were voting right now. Beanie Baby, did Dippy have a, did Dippy have a lavender bow tie? All right, well, we're going to find out. And let's see. No, then they say, well, that no, not Diddly. Diddly the dog is a teal-colored green dog with a...
No, this is not
Diddly.
A dog.
No, absolutely. Well,
this one's got long ears.
Yes. No, it's absolutely not. I'm kind of going right now with Dippy, but I'm not. And he's got something that looks like it. It's if this is a bow tie, it certainly looks lavender. It looks.
It's a ribbon.
Oh, it's a ribbon? Yes, I found him. It's definitely
it's
Dippy.
A bow ribbon.
It's Dippy.
Okay.
Unfortunately, you can buy them right now for $11.07 or best offer. Or best offer. So basically, you can buy them for less than that, $11.07. So buy them new for $12.99 with free delivery. They're still making them. Oh my God! So that is definitely decreasing Dippy.
Not a collector's item.
Not yet. Right. If they made this many, the answer would be never.
In a way, I'm almost glad because I'm getting attached to the little fella.
Well, there you are.
Okay, 1974 this week.
By the way, now I'm, of course, looking at a complete list of Beanie Babies and how many
The Beanie Baby on a different night.
Probably so, because, now I'm on the list of complete list of Beanie Babies and how many
were
there. All right, well, enough of that. Let's move on.
This week, 1974.
Okay, 1974. All right.
This week.
This week, yes, that would be this week. All right. 1974. This week, here we are. I'm ready. Number one.
All right.
Rock the Boat.
Oh, the Hughes Corporation.
Yep. Number two, Sundown.
Gordy Lightfoot.
Number three, Billy, Don't Be a Hero.
Boat Donaldson and the Haywoods.
Number four, Rock Your Baby.
George McRae.
Number
I like that song.
Okay. Number five, If You Love Me, Let Me Know.
Olivia.
Yes, I'm afraid so. Number six, Hollywood Swingin'.
Cool in the Gang.
Yes. Number seven, You Make Me Feel Brand New. And I like this one.
Oh, the stylistic.
Yes, yes. Number eight, Annie's Song. Oh, God.
John Denver.
Number nine, You Won't See Me. Obviously a remake.
Ann Murray.
Yep. And number 10, On and On, and it's not the wonderful song that was done
by...
Yeah, it's a group, female.
Could you play it?
Do I have to? No, all right, let's see. So, all right.
On and On.
Yeah. Now, if we were talking about the Kenny Rankin On and On, I'd get excited, but let's see.
I liked the one that came out in 77, was it?
Yeah, Stephen Bishop or whatever. I think.
Yeah, Stephen Bishop. I like that one.
Yeah, I do too. And
this one.
Interestingly, when the Stephen Bishop came out, which is the original, Kenny Rankin was out at the same time, and it was, I loved it.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's what I played in Durham, North Carolina, to the disrespect of the record labels. All right, so let's see what. So I've got to do it by the artist, all right, because it's not
on and on.
Yeah, right. Let's see. All right. I know who she is. So is she. There you are.
It's a she.
It's a group, but a she. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
She, but you're, yeah, let's see.
Oh, I'll probably know it as soon as I hear
you
it.
Oh, you will. You probably will. Oh, gosh, here it is. I was afraid of that. All right. So, yes. This is definitely it. All right. Here you go.
Oh, Gladys Knight and the Pips, of course.
Yes, absolutely. And not a bad record, but I like the Stephen Bishop better. But okay, very good. Very good. Well, you got them all.
So I guess I go on and...
Yes, you do.
I guess I go on and see how many I can get.
Number 11, The Air That I Breathe.
The Hollies.
Number 12, Be Thankful for What You Got.
William Devon, and I... If you have not heard the long version of it, you must, because it has a sexy jazz solo.
Yeah, I have. Absolutely. So that's number 12. Number 13, Ricky, Don't Lose That Number.
Steely Dan.
Yep. Number 14.
Which was the name of a vibrator.
Yes. there's inspiration for you. number 14, One Hell of a Woman.
Oh, Mac Davis.
Yeah, number...
The same guy who wrote In the Ghetto.
And a lot of other things, too. Number 15.
Yeah, yeah.
Rock and Roll Heaven.
Oh, the Righteous Brothers.
Yes. Number... That was 15. Number 16, Sideshow.
Oh, Sideshow.
One of my all-time favorite records.
I can hear this song going through my head.
It's a wonderful song. It's absolutely a wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful
and you don't
song.
you don't need to play it because the battle this time is remembering the name of the group.
Yeah, I will play it anyway because I like it. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Happy to. Happy
yeah.
To hear it.
Yeah. And I mean, I heard this song just a minute ago. The name of the group has slipped my mind, and I'm gonna kick myself when you tell me. It's not Bloodstone.
You won't know. It's absolutely not Bloodstone. It is Blue Magic.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was on. Atco.
I don't hear the song that often, so that group name slipped my mind, but at least I got up to 16.
It was actually on Atco, but the mastering engineer of that was somebody that I had worked with at Columbia Nashville, and I remember one day he came in and had a reel-to-reel tape. He said, "Here's your stuff." And it was Blue Magic Sideshow.
Oh.
I'm like, whoa, this is great. Yeah, I was happy all day.
You like that one, huh?
Yeah.
He got into your camp.
Oh, he knew. He absolutely knew. He said, I know you're suffering here, so here you go. So, and he was right.
Oh.
So, yes. So you did very well.
Okay.
Excellent. All right, thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it. All right, so, I still have that reel-to-reel, actually. Let's see. We're going to, not that I didn't like all the country stuff, because some of it I did, but it just, you know, it wasn't my stuff. So let's see. We'll get to, we got Gary in Austin. Oh, we're going to do charts, 1969. Fine, an adult year, sort of. At least it's the 60s. Dame on the North Side wants his Flintstones. Sam and Gurney called back. Maddie in Harwood Heights wants Sopranos. And there's a line available for you, too, right now. John is screening it on WGN Radio.
Do, 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 do.
I pray that you stay with me nightly. I always want you here by to my Lord.
1956 on Rama. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Who are they? All right, 888-876-5593. Only got a half hour for our straggler, so that's going to take precedence if I see anybody wanting to guess that. And that is, people are more likely to do this in Nevada and least likely to do it in Alabama. Do what? All right, so they take precedence, but other than that, if you want to call about anything else, we can. People with blue eyes and red hair are more likely to develop this habit than people with other eye and hair color combinations. That will be around next week if you don't get it tonight. But this one, however, will be gone. So, of course, you know the deal. If you don't know the bumper stumpers and you don't know any of the things I'm throwing out there, take your own category. Sky is the limit. But I think Gary in Austin knows some bumpers. So, Gary, what'd you hear you know?
I think I heard the sun rays.
You did not hear the sun rays.
Oh, okay.
What did you think the sun rays... That's funny. What did you think the sun rays were doing?
That Beach Boys sounded like...
Oh, the tell 'em I'm surfing? Oh, that,
yeah.
Yeah, it is not the sun rays.
Okay. I wasn't sure if the Sundays or the Rondells. Anyways,
neither of those. Nope.
Were.
Nope. I don't think there's any commonality to the sunrays. I'm trying to think, because I know who produced and all that kind of stuff, but I don't think there's any hold. Now, to the sunrays, of course, there was a direct Beach Boys connection, but no. No. So here P.F. Sloan was in that group. And Steve Barry, I think, produced it. But anyway, what else are we doing?
And then a quick bumper. I mean, not bumper, but trivia guess.
Good.
My thought might be ATV, the more ATV use in Nevada than...
Oh, that's interesting. It's not right, but it is interesting.
Yeah, well, at least I'm consistent.
That's right. Absolutely. That's good. All right. So we're doing 1969, are we?
Yep.
All right, this week in 1969, dreadful, just absolutely dreadful. All right, so here we go. You'll see what I mean. Number one, love theme from Romeo and Juliet.
I think that was Henry Mancini, and so far I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Number two, spinning wheel.
BS&T.
Yes. Number three, bad moon rising.
CCR.
Number four, good morning starshine.
Oliver.
Number five, one.
Three Dog Night.
Number six, Get Back.
Beatles.
Number seven, Crystal Blue Persuasion.
Tommy James.
Number eight, in the year 2525.
Oh, my God. Zager and Evans.
Yes, yes. And, beneath in the year 2525 on the label, they say Exordium and Terminus. And I think to myself, I don't know what it means, but I never thought that we would have a beer drinking song in the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Might as well have been 100 bottles of beer on the wall.
Yeah.
All right. So,
might
yeah. Yeah. Number nine, Color Him Father.
The Winston.
And number 10, Too Busy Thinking About My Baby.
Marvin Gaye.
All right, let's see how far you get. 11, The Ballad of John and Yoko.
The Beatles.
12, In the Ghetto.
Elvis Presley.
13, Black Pearl, Precious Little Girl.
Sonny Charles.
Yes. Number 14, What Does It Take to Win Your Love?
Junior Walker and the All-Stars.
Yes, and I love that song. You could read the license renewal over that intro.
Yeah, number, that's a great song.
Yeah, it's really. Number 15, Love Me Tonight.
Oh, Love Me Tonight.
Yeah, it's that bad. I'll tell you, it was on Parrot. Now you'll get it.
Oh. Come, it's too early for English.
Come on, how many X can you can you name on Parrot in 1969?
Oh.
Because I think I can only name one.
And it's not coming to me, and when you tell me, I'll
Well, no, actually yeah. you will lose with pride, because no one should remember Tom Jones.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot who he recorded for.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
After It's Unusual, that's about it for him.
Right, exactly. And I loved It's Not Unusual. And it also was so damn short, it could fit anywhere. You know, it was just a wonderful record all the way around. And then that was it. So, although I like The Shattering Glass and What's New Pussycat.
Yeah, that's true. And then the Dells, of course, they did a great
job. Oh, they did a wonderful job on that record. I love their version. It was a flip side, of course.
Which I didn't know about until 40 or 50 years later, but that's okay.
You're right. You found it now. All right, good deal. All right, Gary, you have certainly redeemed yourself. Hang on. Don't go away.
Okay, thanks.
All right, good deal. So Gary aces that. Now let's put him on hold. And again, the prizes are worthless. You're doing it for the fun of it, but eventually you get something if you live long enough. Marty called back in Harwood Heights. Oh, good. So Sopranos TV trivia. Are you there, Marty? No, Marty gave up already?
Hello?
There you are. I hear you, Marty. Okay.
Hey, what's going on?
What is Silvio's middle name?
I don't know.
Well, you heard it when he was being arrested at Jackie Jr.'s funeral.
Silvio? I don't know.
Manfred.
Oh, God.
I know. Absolutely. So I thought that was the reason enough. How the hell would it be Manfred? But it is.
That's a tough one. That's great. Thank
yeah.
You.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
And we'll hopefully do it again next week because we have a lot of Sopranos questions because it was certainly a colorful show. Yeah, unlike Miss Fisher's Mysteries where, you know, we lose very, very quickly. All right, so let's see. Oh, Sheila is going to take a guess on our red hair, blue eyes habit. So, Sheila, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you. How are you doing, Rowdy?
All right, how about yourself, Sheila?
I'm doing well tonight. Yes, I do have a guess.
Good.
I'd like to say that I think they go to tanning booths.
Oh, I love that. That's not right. Do you have any other guesses?
No. You know, I thought that would be accurate, but I guess it's not.
No.
Do they eat? Does it have something to do with what they eat?
Nope.
No.
It's a
habit. Okay, thanks a lot.
It's one of those habits. Think about it, because it'll probably be around next week, and you can call back.
I will, and thank you.
Okay, thanks, Sheila. Appreciate it. All right, good to hear from Sheila. All right, now let's see what are we doing. As you can probably hear my voice, it's not been a good day physically for me, and I'm sorry about that. When I hear myself in my headphones, it's sort of like, oh, my God. But hopefully you've put up with it, and I appreciate it. Diane in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I thought I'd take a guess on the red-haired people, red-haired blonde.
Good.
I thought maybe I can hear my voice twice on there.
Well, that's all right. I only hear it once.
Okay.
So you're good.
Anyway, because I have everything off, just so you know. Anyway, I was thinking, well, nail biting?
You're a winner.
Okay, thank you.
You are absolutely a winner. Nail biting.
Okay.
And this came to light from a syndicated newspaper columnist, L.M. Boyd. He doesn't say where he got it.
Okay.
You're a winner.
I was going to guess cutting, you know, that terrible thing that some people do. Yeah, I was going to do that next.
Oh, God, no. No, that's pretty awful. But right. Nail biting is absolutely it in terms of, proportion. A percentage of red-haired, blue-eyed people bite their nails more often than people with other color combinations. God only knows what they were researching when they found that out. Now, hold on a minute.
Right.
The prizes are worthless. If you live long enough, eventually you get something. Don't go away. All right, so that's the certificates are fun. Everything else, I have a feeling a lot of people are going to get 45 RPMs because that's what I've been throwing away a lot of lately. All right, Cleveland, Dennis, and Elgin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, hi, Raleigh. I got a lot of things to relate to. Congratulations to the lady about the nail biting because I got blue eyes. I used to have red hair when I was a kid, and I thought maybe had something to do with the sensitivity to the eyes. Because all I want to do when I go outside is wear my sunglasses.
Huh.
Anyhow.
Huh.
Somebody called earlier and said they were 76.5, 76 and a half. That's my age right about now.
Well, happy.
I want to make a request for 98.6.
Oh, Keith. Like, now, that's interesting. I'm more of an Ain't Gonna Lie fan, but all right.
Play Ain't Gonna Lie, you know, because that one kicks as well. But, you know, you mentioned T.F. Sloan from a distance. That's wild about him being in that baggy pants group or whatever that was that sound like the Beach Boys.
Well, actually, you're damn close to who they were. No one's going to get it. They were the Fantastic Baggies.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I went to the Beach Boy concert in 1965. I was 15 years old. I don't know what motivated me. But I think Glenn Campbell played in the Beach Boys backup band at that point. But I was 15. I sent in for $3 tickets. Got them in the mail, took the bus down for 20 cents, the Queen Pump of Thorn, and I watched them.
Oh, that's good.
All by my lonesome. Yeah, it was wild. You mentioned Henry Mancini, mentioned earlier. He's from Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
But I got to tell you this. This is a knockout right now. About the middle name from the Sopranos.
Oh, yeah, Manfred.
Manfred.
Yeah.
My high school locker partner, his first name was Manfred. Manfred Weiss, 3 years.
Okay.
At West Tech High. Anyhow, you mentioned Petunia LaFaz. A little related to Bolivia, no doubt.
Oh, right, anyhow, right. Yeah, right. Who was, you know, obviously didn't exist, but yes, with Juan Pfeiffero, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fascinating, whatever happened there in
It was like the best story ever, and Duncan Mousey was just terrific. I mean, I wish there were managers like him today, just as creative and as off-colored and politically incorrect and excitable as anyone could be.
I always scratch my head when you tell these stories about all these happenings at different radio stations across the U.S., and I'm wondering to myself, how could you listen to all these radio stations? Back then, you know, there was no internet. Like, I used an aggregator to listen on TuneIn,
sure,
you know, to you guys. And it's always a few seconds or 15 seconds, 20 seconds behind. But how do you get all this experience of listening to all these places across the U.S. through the internet?
It's a couple things. You know, I've lived in 32 cities because radio being a nomad deal. So a lot of it is direct experience like that. But also, you know, radio is a very small business. So everybody sort of knows everybody. And, you know, so you know what someone's doing in another market. So, you know, I just always knew.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's not only that you knew, you remembered.
Oh, well, yeah, not everything, but a lot of the stories are just truly hilarious. And that Duncan Mousey thing was one of the funniest things ever. And I really should look for Dale Kemery, the guy who played the unwitting guy who played the part of Juan Pfeiffero, because it was just hilarious. You know, the best part was the guy had really bad vision, and at the last minute at this motel, they wouldn't let him wear his glasses. So he had to remember his speech because he couldn't see it. So, you know, it was sort of an impromptu thing in the end, but it was just, I'll have to, you know, maybe it was the Thruway, I can't remember the name of the motor lodge, but the idea of this prophet from Bolivia coming and appearing at this travel lodge was just, who would believe that? And the answer was everyone.
Huh. Well, yeah, if it was on the radio, I guess it's true.
Yeah, and they took out newspaper ads, too. See, they made it appear like the guy was on the Jack Parr show. You know, that was all Art Moger, who was just great. And so, yeah, so there was a lot of backstory to this. And it was all because Duncan was so mad at TRY for doing their little promotion that he thought, well, I'll just kill him. And he did.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I got, Raleigh. I'm enjoying the show, and I try to listen every night. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. I'll get back. All right. So, the Fantastic Baggies. That's who did Tell 'Em I'm Surfing. And, you know, I mentioned that I really believed in that record when it came out. I thought it was a good record, which, of course, you know, Kiss of Death right there. But they were a hit in only one country. They not only sold several singles, but albums in South Africa. I don't know. All right, so let's see what we can do. I'll shut up and see if we can get to... I know I got to get to Stan in Dearborn because he knows all the bumpers. And Dave wants his Flintstones, and Shane's driving. We're going for a ride. I bet we're on our way to Milwaukee or somewhere there in... And MASH trivia, of course. And Sam called back. Now, Sam, if I don't get to you tonight, and I don't know, I want you to call me tomorrow night, and we'll talk as long as you want. And I want to hear it all. All right, and James on the South Side wants World War II, which probably will have ended by the time the show does on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. They were from Scotland, and actually she became famous under her own name. But they were Duo, and that would have been, oh gosh, it was on Hickory in the States. I don't know what label it was on in Great Britain, but it was 1966, so who are they? All right, now speaking of who are they, let's stop down and talk to Stan in Dearborn, because he knows all, well, I think. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Stan.
Hi, Raleigh. No, I only know a couple of them.
Really?
I don't know the Scottish duo here. I don't know them. But I do know the ones from 1956 off the Rama label, for sure.
Okay.
And I have a guess at another one.
Okay.
They Say by the Rainbow.
Yes.
Off the Rama label, 1956. Great group, great song.
Yes.
And what a great choice that was.
Thank you.
And, of course, you know, the Rainbows had a few famous people in it.
Yes, and I've got several Rainbow songs from which to choose right on this computer, and so there will be more coming up, I guarantee you.
Oh, great. And way in front of that, we had Lover by Jimmy Jones and the Pretenders off the Rama label again.
Yeah.
And that other side of that was Plain Old Love, which is the side I usually play.
Okay.
But, yeah, that was,
I thought about it. I did.
Well, another great choice,
yeah.
And the other ones, I don't know, I'm kind of, I didn't know, I'm a little bit too new for me.
Well, you would have known Who's That Knocking, the Genies, of course.
I had that one, yeah.
Well, we'll go over them, because no one's going to get them. 10 Ways of Loving You, that was Lenny Williams. Gonna Make It My Baby was April Young, who was really Janice Friedman, who married the music producer, whose name, Jerry
April
Ross.
April Young.
April Young.
Oh, that was a pretty good song, yeah.
It was, yeah. And, what's his name produced it, too. That's terrible. What's his name? Well, he's no longer alive. I don't remember. Anyway, let's see. Of course, Never. Now, see, I thought you would know Never for sure.
I got a guess on that.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
It's pretty new. I know it's not the Jive Fives, Never, and it's not the Four Lovers, of course. I would have to say the guy sounded like Larry Chance.
Because it is. Larry Chance and the Earls, Never. And
yeah, because he said it was 2001 and he was out around that time.
Right,
and
right.
We saw him a couple of times here in Detroit at a couple of... and I know he had a throat problem.
Yes.
A little bit after that, or maybe before. I can't remember the dates exactly. But we saw him a few times.
Yeah, and that was on that Back on the Streets of Bronx CD, which I thought was pretty darn good. Don't Change It, that was also British. That was Ferns Brass Foundry, and if you know anything about them, it's more than I do.
No.
And Billy Harner did Homicide Dresser, which...
I don't know him.
Sally Saying Something. Big, big Philly act is really... He had some national chart stuff, but nothing great. But just, I mean, in Philly, he was, you know, a god in his day. So that's why I played him. And then the last thing that you didn't know on Hickory, the gal in it is actually Maggie Bell, but it's listed as Frankie and Johnny, I'll Hold You, and it's a flip side.
Oh, yeah, I haven't heard that. But it sounded nice. It was nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she went on and did a lot of stuff. She kind of did a lot of soul stuff. And for a couple people in Scotland, hey, good effort.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. Well, you've ended the show. Thank you, Dave. I mean, Stan. I'm sorry. Thank you, Stan.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll add to Stan's stash there. Apologies to Dave. That's what I was going to say. And to Shane and to Sam and to James. Oh, man. Show ended too quickly. But, you know, 21 hours from now, we do it all again. So if it's on your mind, and I hope Sam's going to call us back too. And you too. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I'm indebted to you for calling. Hope to hear from you in 21 hours on WGN Radio.
Crash and Spurn, plus the Maple Griefs and Text from the Tomb. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. License to Chill. Slow down. You're gonna smash. You've got to make the morning pass. New York slamming the brakes on speed and bleed demons. The state governor signing vehicle governors into law, automatically decelerating the dirtbags who dish out death and destruction in an empire spate of mindlessness. Anyone racking up more than 16 handles of speed camera tickets a year will have to install the dash diminishing devices on their drives. Oh, Sunder Road. Vice Squad, Toronto Blue Strays, as the scum also rises when the heat in Barcelona, Spain track the boys in blue from Toronto PD. Three cowboy Canadian cops on vacay from the Bait White North getting nabbed for allegedly assaulting a lady of the Swine Night in a taxi. Charges against Toronto Swines include sex assault and bodily injury. The Spree Stone cops reportedly flashed their badges when Spanish coppers came calling, like that would help with infernal affairs. Phantom phone pings. A Washington State woman's frightened family flipped out when bizarre bumbling text blasts suddenly sounded stiff, staged, and spooky. Cops say her boyfriend brutally bumped her off, then feverishly finger-fired fake phone messages pretending she was still safe, smiling and strolling around Tacoma. Detectives dug up damning digital dirt, cadaver dog clues, and sickening search history sleaze about body burying. Talk about a toxic texter. That's one way to keep a conversation alive, even after the coroner clocks in. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.